This is Kraftwerk.
This is my hometown, and I just believe this hometown wouldn't have been the same if this team had left here.
A look back at 25 years of Patriots ownership.
And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
And the Patriots are world champions again!
A touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
We are all Patriots, and tonight, the Patriots are world champions!
Once again, here's Mark Bertrand.
Franchise quarterback. It's a phrase that NFL fans hear often, but it can be hard to define. Ability, intelligence, and leadership are some of the things that teams look for in a quarterback. Some NFL teams have spent years or even decades in pursuit of a franchise QB. In the 25 years Robert Kraft has owned the Patriots, he has been in the rare position of not having to worry about who his quarterback is. Even more rare is that the Pats found the best quarterback ever in the sixth round of the NFL draft.
I remember Belichick walking up to the board and said, wow, this Brady's still on the board.
Back here in New York, our draft coverage continues. It's New Orleans on the clock at pick 200, as we said, bottom of the sixth, end of the sixth round. And among the last six picks taken, a familiar name if you're a college football fan, Tom Brady, the quarterback who all he did was lead this football team, put them in the right position more times than not. And when he got pulled from the game and Drew Henson came in, Michigan football was not as good as it was when Brady was in.
One of the real troubling parts was the Michigan situation. You know, the fact that really they were trying to replace him as their starting quarterback and say, okay, they don't really want this guy as their starting quarterback. They want another guy. Well, what's the problem here? You know, it's a little bit of a red flag there.
Going to New England, Drew Bledsoe, his forte certainly isn't mobility. It's dropping back, throwing the football. Brady can do that, and certainly New England's offense already designed for Bledsoe. Now comes Brady. Can he overcome that lack of mobility?
When you're the 199th pick, it was like, whew. You know, I was thinking about as those other 198 names were called, what the heck I was going to do for the rest of my life.
We already had three quarterbacks at the time. We had just signed our number one quarterback, Drew Bledsoe, for a lot of money.
And then I was happy as could be because I had a direction. We had a starting quarterback there who I could learn a lot from. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the league at the time.
More Pats picks. Sixth round, Antoine Harris, Tom Brady, and David Nugent. These later round picks can make a difference if your scouting department is sharp and you can get a little lucky.
The Patriots were lucky. Lucky to have the very sharp Dick Rabine on Bill Belichick's staff. Early in the year 2000, Belichick asked his new quarterbacks coach to scout a couple of college players who might be a good fit as a backup to Drew Bledsoe. One was Tim Rattay of Louisiana Tech, and the other was Michigan's Tom Brady. Rabine was immediately impressed with Brady and made the case to his boss back in New England that the team should target him in the draft. Months later, Brady was face-to-face with the owner of his new team.
I remember the first time he met me, he called me Kyle Brady. The tight end. All he knew was Brady, so he said, hey, Kyle.
You know, he came down those steps of the old stadium, and he was a skinny bean pole. I still can see it.
I kind of let it go. I mean, I wasn't going to say anything to the owner. I was 22 years old.
And he had a little pizza under his arm.
And I said, hey, Mr. Kraft. I said, I'm Tom Brady.
Yeah, I said, I know who you are, sixth-round draft choice from Michigan.
And he goes, oh, yeah, of course. You know, I know. You're a quarterback. I've seen you play. You're doing a good job.
And he looked me right in the eye, and he said,
you know, I just want to tell you, it's, you know, one of the best decisions you ever made picking me.
I'm the best decision this organization has ever made.
I remember the phone call. I remember sitting in my office because I said, was the kid cocky? My father said, you know, he wasn't, and there's something about the way he said it. He said, I believe him. So that is an absolute 100% true story.
Was he right?
20, throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins, leaping!
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back!
Now he shoots it long and deep for Troy Brown. He's got it! He's got it at the 15, to the 10, to the 5! Touchdown! 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 And the Patriots win it overtime!
Tom Shortstop, look left, throws for Edelman! Touchdown! Patriots! They're back in the lead in Super Bowl 49!
Tom Brady Randy Moss, and they each have set NFL records on the go-ahead touchdown for Tom Brady. Touchdown pass number 50.
Diving to the goal line!
It's good!
A touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Led
by the greatest quarterback.
Look at Brady.
In Super Bowl and NFL annals.
25 years in, you've only hired two head coaches, and you've had two franchise quarterbacks in 25 years. Are you ever worried that that, you know, is hard to sustain, or that, you know, that doesn't happen to every NFL team?
In the almost 100 years, has any other team had that? You know, part of it is, it's just not, we believe in continuity as long as the performance is there. What happens in businesses like this is you get something good going and then it breaks up. And so our main challenge has been to keep it together and keep everyone together when you have quality people. And we do that in any business. You know, people talk about tension, but in any successful organization, there's tension going on all the time. It's how you deal with it. And if you're just average or mediocre, no one really cares. So it goes under the radar. But every family in America has tension, has issues. No one has the golden life. So if you have your health and you're with good people, you're lucky.
It's easy to forget, with 9 Super Bowls and 13 conference championship games, that there have been other great games for the franchise during the 25 years the Krafts have been in charge. But if there's a starting point to the Patriots dynasty, you can make a case that it began on a snow-filled Saturday night in January 2002, the AFC Divisional Playoff, and the final game ever played in Foxborough Stadium.
My favorite game in that old stadium. I remember we had as a guest in the box the guy who at the time is the CEO of the largest bank in the world, Sandy Weill of Citigroup. And he said, I saw you be a gracious loser and a gracious winner. And I remember we came up, Jonathan and I and Sandy, before the game with Harry. And Brady walked over to us and said, right before, we're going to get this for you tonight.
Good evening, everyone. From the winter wonderland that is Foxborough Stadium, this is Gil Santos along with Gino Cappelletti tonight. The AFC Eastern Division champion Patriots take on the Western Division champion Oakland Raiders in the AFC semifinals. And it is a winter wonderland and a wonderful sight. If you love football to be played in the cold weather and the elements, this is your night.
Fortunately, Tom Brady made it in time for the game, but the Patriots offense spent the first half stuck in Route 1 traffic, and the Raiders scored the only points of the first 30 minutes.
Second and 10, Oakland at the Patriot 13. Gannon calling signals. Gannon drops back to throw. Sets, looks, fires, and it is caught. Touchdown to James Jett.
An Adam Vinatieri field goal in the third quarter was answered by a pair of field goals from Sebastian Janikowski. And the Raiders entered the fourth with a 13-3 lead. With 12:29 to go, the Patriots took over on their own 33, and the pride of East Boston stepped up.
Smith is the eye back in motion, left to right goes Rod Rutledge. The handoff to no one. Play action fake by Brady. Down the middle he goes. Caught. First down. Jermaine Wiggins breaks it down to the Oakland Raider 35-yard line. First and 10 at the Oakland 20. Brady calling signals. Mike Compton makes the snap. Brady looks to the right, fires to the right, and it is knocked. And it's caught. Knocked in the air and then caught on the rebound at the 15-yard line by Jermaine Wiggins.
Wiggins caught 4 of his game-high 10 catches on that drive. The last one setting up the pass with a second and goal from the Oakland 6.
Snap to Brady. Looks, stands, starts to run with it. He is down to the 5 and he's in! Touchdown! Tom Brady runs in for a touchdown with 7:52 to play in the football game. And the Patriots are back in it.
The 67-yard drive brought the Patriots within a field goal. They'd get the ball back for their last chance with 2:06 left at their own 46.
Snow continues to come down. Brady calling signals. The direct snap to Brady. Standing in there. Looks to the left, loses the football. It's on the ground, and let's see if it's a fumble or a pass attempt. I believe it's going to be called a fumble. It is. A fumble, and the Oakland Raiders recover. With 1:43 to go, it did look as though his arm was moving forward. And I don't know if This one will be looked at once again. As we look at it, Brady's arm was coming forward.
Yeah, they're going to have to call it from upstairs.
When we looked at the replay, I remember saying, a case can be made that Brady's arm was going forward when the ball came loose, and they may rule that as an incompleted pass.
It was the beginning of an anxious 3 minutes in the broadcast booth for Gil Santos and Gino Cappelletti.
So Walt Coleman, our referee, will review the play, got the call from upstairs, and what they tell him is, they don't say it's a fumble. They say you might want to look at this one again because the Patriots cannot call the or for a replay inside the two-minute warning. Now, it looked, Gino, to us anyway, of course we're biased, that it was a forward pass attempt. It looked like his arm was going forward, and that would be a huge play.
Yeah, but it's a question of whether he was going forward and to pull it back in.
When I put my headset on, my replay guy said, Walt, this is a big play.
Walt Coleman was the referee.
The shot he gave me was from the front, which gave me a clear look at exactly what happened on the play. And what it showed is Brady's arms coming forward, and Woodson hits him, and the ball falls out of his hand. And that's clearly an incomplete forward pass. It was easy.
After reviewing the play, the quarterback's arm was going forward. It is an incomplete.
All right. Patriots retain the ball.
10 on the 42.
I think I said something like, all right. In my opinion, it was the correct interpretation of the rule.
You know, I'm not going to pretend that I had any idea that ruling would come out the way it did.
The Tuck rule, I have a little picture, my office with John Gruden saying it was a fumble with Tommy. But it did go according to the rule.
Despite the reprieve, there was still work to do. It was 2nd and 10 from the Oakland 42.
Patton to the near side right. Brady awaiting the snap. It's there. Brady stands in the pocket, fires to the near side. Caught by David Patton. He's across the 25. Down for a first down to the Oakland 22-yard line.
That play set up a 45-yard field goal in less than optimal conditions for Vinatieri to tie the game.
I talked to Adam about this after, and he said, yeah, he said, I had to try to hit it a little higher in the belly. But what he's doing then is giving the chance for a block kick because it's not going to be rising as quick as normal kicks do.
45-yard field goal attempt coming up. Snap, ball down. Kick up on the way.
We had to wait to see the officials make the signal because it got caught in the snow. And it was a line drive kick.
And it is good! It is good! 45 yards! Adam Vinatieri kicks it through the snow! And we're tied at 13-13 with 27 seconds left to play!
He drove it right through the wind and the snow, and it was just a magnificent kick.
People forget after that, we had to go down. Still, you know, there's a lot of work that went into it.
And we're going to overtime. And this gritty bunch of Patriots, a team that Bill Belichick worked hard in the offseason with Scott Pioli to build a team of character, showed us that character here in this fourth quarter tonight, Gino, no matter what happened.
The Patriots received the kickoff for the start of overtime. The Raiders never touched the ball again.
Slots to both sides for Brady on second down. Direct snap to Brady. It's a screen to the right, complete to Redmond at the 35, 40. On his feet at the 45, up to the midfield stripe and driven down at the Oakland Raider 45-yard line. J.R. Redmond. Over the middle it goes, complete to Wiggins. First down across the 40-yard line to the 38. East Boston's Jermaine Wiggins has been a big, big player in this football game for the Pats. First down to the Oakland 38-yard line. 4th and 3. Brady drops straight back to throw. Pump fakes, fires. Caught. First down. At the Oakland Raider 22-yard line. Edwards, the fullback, to give this to Antoine Smith to the right. Turns the corner. He's got a first down inside the
40-yard line. Beautiful.
Antoine Smith, first and goal to go. Patriots at the Oakland 9-yard line. From the 13-yard line, a 23-yard field goal attempt for Adam Vinatieri. Lonnie Paxton to snap. Ken Walter to hold. The crowd will tell you whether he makes it or not. Set to go. Snap. Ball down. Kick is up. Patriots win! Patriots win in overtime! 16-13! And it's
a mob scene on the snowy field of Foxborough.
I was doing a radio show with, I was being interviewed by someone from the West Coast, and they were humming and complaining, oh, it was a fumble. I said, well, you know what? The rule said it wasn't a fumble, so you're going to have to live with it. And some guy said, well, that's, you know, totally unfair. And I said, well, 1976, there was a roughing the passer call against Ray Hamilton out in Oakland, and that was totally unfair, so what goes around comes around.
We're going to the AFC Championship game. How about that?
And somebody said, well, is this the greatest game you ever broadcast? And I said, absolutely, everything. The snow globe conditions, the way the game ended, the way the Patriots tied it, the way they won it. Just a fantastic game to broadcast. And the guy said, do you think you can ever top it? And this is exactly what I said. I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, the only way I can top that win is if we win the Super Bowl on the last play of the game.
Super Bowl 36, the first Super Bowl, first championship of five at this point. You expected to get there. You made that sort of that statement on day one that you were going to get there, and then you got there.
My objective in doing this is to help bring the championship to New England. We didn't do this to be a doormat for any of the teams. We do like to win. We think everything is in place to make that happen.
The road from losing to winning in the NFL is seldom a straight one. Just ask Robert Kraft. In his 7 years of ownership prior to the 2001 season, his franchise saw its share of ups and downs. And after a disappointing 5-11 season in Bill Belichick's first year, a Super Bowl appearance the following season was a long shot. But sometimes, long shots pay off.
Drew touches the knee down, and the final seconds tick away. Patriots players coming onto the field, and we're heading to New Orleans as the American Football Conference champions.
A 24-17 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship game punched their ticket. But who'd be driving the bus? Drew Bledsoe came on in relief after Tom Brady injured his ankle in that game and led the team to the win in his first game since his own gruesome injury in Week 2, which led to a good old-fashioned quarterback controversy as the Pats prepared for the St. Louis Rams.
Now let's get to your thoughts on one of today's big stories, the Brady-Bledsoe debate.
We want to know who you think should start.
You know, there's a lot of controversy on who's going to play in this game. Is Tom's ankle okay? You know, and the reporters were asking Bill every single day. His answer is, Tom hasn't practiced yet. If he's okay, he's going
to
play.
He was, and he would. No surprise to Adam Vinatieri or the quarterback himself.
I remember going on Wednesday at practice, and it was still pretty sore, but you know, it was manageable, and I could go out there, and I knew by Sunday it was going to be okay.
New at 11, the guessing game is over. Tom Brady will start at quarterback for the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
What I did was I took my shoulder pads off, I laid them down, and I put my head back. And I wasn't intended to sleep, but I think I dozed off for about 20 or 30 minutes. And I just felt good about where I was at. It wasn't like I was so relaxed. I didn't realize the importance of the game. I just felt I was very prepared. Woke up, went out, changed my shirt, threw my shoulder pads on, and 12 minutes later, we were running on the field.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, choosing to be introduced as a team,
the American Football Conference champions, the New England Patriots.
All right, set to go. Adam Vinatieri to kick it off. From here in New Orleans, and he approaches the ball, and Super Bowl 36 is underway, end over end.
The only scoring of the first 15 minutes was a St. Louis field goal. Midway through the second, the Patriots' defense made their first big play of the game.
And Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The pass is intercepted. Picked off by Tyrone. 30, 25, 20, 15, touchdown! Touchdown! Tyrone picks it up and takes it to the house. And the Patriots take the lead with 8:49 to go in the first half.
Two Ram possessions later, the Pats defense did it again.
Back to throw is Warner on first and 10. Fires over the middle. It is caught. And Ricky Proland dropped. And the Patriots recover it. Back at the 45. It is picked up at midfield. Heading to the right is Terrell Buckley. Down to the 40-yard line to the Rams 39. Brady first and goal. St. Louis 8-yard line. Brady drops back to throw. Looks. Fires right. Touchdown, David Pep! Touchdown, David Patton! 31 seconds to go in the half, and the Pats score their second touchdown of the second quarter.
They'd take a 14-3 lead into the locker room, and a Vinatieri field goal late in the third made it 17-3 entering the final quarter. Finally, the Rams' best drive of the day had them knocking on the door at the New England 3.
Warner back to throw, looking left, now being chased, now rolling to the right. He's got a wide open alley. He's trying to run for a touchdown, and he is down and fumbled the ball. It is picked up by the Patriots. Ty Law at the 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 midfield. It is Takamaki Jones. He's going to go all the way.
That's
Penny marker down on the field on the far side. penalty marker on the field on the far side.
Marshall Faulk got help.
Defensive holding, Patriots. So take away a 95-yard fumble return for a touchdown by Tabucky Jones.
It was Marshall Faulk on the replay that got held by Willie McGinnis.
You know, the one thing I hate, and I've always hated, is letting down my teammates and being the guy who probably could have cost us the game.
Right before that, I was looking at my boys and Sweet Myra and saying, I think we really have a chance to win the Super Bowl. How cool is that? And then that play happened, and I saw the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs.
My job was to hit Marshall Faulk no matter where he was. And on that particular play, Warner rolled out the opposite way, and me and Bruschi had him bracketed. Well, I look over, and Bruschi took off. He was chasing Warner, and Marshall happened to be running an angle route. So I figure if Bruce's gone, I got to stop him. I got to do whatever it takes not to let him. Even if we get a penalty, we still get to play another down. That was one of the worst feelings I've ever had as a football player. Like, we could possibly lose this game. I just felt like crap.
Holt to the far side left. Bruce in the left slot. To the near side right, Hakeem. Faulk, the running back, offset left. Second and goal at the patch two. Quarterback sneak. Oh. Touchdown. Yeah. Kurt Warner walked into the end zone, untouched.
In the blink of an eye, what would have been a 3-touchdown lead was just 7 points, and the Rams weren't done.
Bruce to the far side, back to passes, Warner looks, fires left, it is wide open to the 10, inside the 5, and down and in, touchdown, St. Louis.
That tied the game at 17. New England took over, first and 10 at their own 17, with a minute 21 to go.
And now with no timeouts, I think that the Patriots, with this field position, you have to just run the clock out. You have to play for overtime now. I don't think you want to force anything here. You don't want to do anything stupid because you have no timeouts and you're backed up.
John Madden went with conventional wisdom. Gil Santos went with his gut.
Bill and Charlie Weiss, both aggressive thinkers on a football field. And I didn't think for a moment that they were just going to run the ball and play for overtime. You got a chance to win.
It's 17-17. Well, my first thing is I go up to Charlie and I say, what are we doing? And he says, we're going. So I said, all right, what's the first play? And Charlie says to me, as I'm sure Bill said in his ear, he better take care of that ball. So Charlie yells at me. He says, hey, take care of that ball. And Drew was kind of standing next to me, and he kind of just shuffled in front of that, and he says, F that. Go out there and sling it.
So it's tied at 17-17 with a minute and 30 to play. Well, well, well. Brady takes the direct snap, stands up in the pocket, starts to run with it, throws over the middle. It is caught there out to the 21-yard line. Over the middle it goes, complete to J.R. Redmond to the 30-yard line. First down, Patriots. Dumps it off to the left. Complete to J.R. Redmond. 30, 35, to the 40, and a first down. Brady takes the direct snap. Stands in the pocket. Steps up. Fires down the field. Caught! Troy Brown at the 40. He's to the left of the 37-yard line and goes out of bounds. Stopping the clock at the Ram 36 with 21 seconds to go.
The biggest play of the drive to me was the Troy Brown catch and run after the catch, because he gobbled up a lot of yardage. And then, with the presence of mind and the great football instincts that he had, ran it out of bounds.
Fires over the middle. Caught by Jermaine Wiggins down to the 30-yard line of St. Louis. The Patriots have to come up and snap the ball down here. 13 seconds remaining. Brady to the line of scrimmage, down to 9 seconds left, throws the ball to the ground with 7 seconds left, and Adam Vinatieri will try to win it with a 47-yard field goal attempt.
I had absolutely no doubt in my mind that he was going to make that kick. I just had so much confidence in Adam Vinatieri, and it was not like, oh my God, what if he misses? I was just thinking, he's going to kick the field goal, and we're going to win the blooming Super Bowl.
He was just in a groove. What that groove is all about is that it's the same motion into the ball, the same speed. Everything was the same. He was locked in, and now all he needed was a good snap from center, a good hold, and he guaranteed he's going to kick that field goal through those posts.
All right. Ken Walter will hold. Lonnie Paxton will snap. From the far hash mark, angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
the best team of the National Football League. Adam Vinatieri, 48 yards. Oh, baby. Oh, what a finish. What a finish to Camo.
That was so special. You know, after 9/11, red, white, and blue, the Patriots, it was, we weren't the best team. But it really taught us how having the best organization and everybody putting team first as opposed to having the most stars really, really made the difference.
And it raised the bar for the entire town and ushered in an era of winning for everybody. I mean, that started with that. Then that became an expectation for this team, for really everybody else in town. You started that.
Well, I'll let you say that. Yeah. We were just driven to do what we wanted to do. And look, this, the great thing about Boston, it's a great sports town. Genuine. People care. People are passionate. We know we're one of them. You know, we love the Celts, Bruins, Red Sox, Revs. We love them all. And, you know, we want to win. It's about our family. These teams are our family.